Grace, due, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, we're continuing our sermon series today on the life of Job and questions that arise out of that book, especially having to do with suffering. And today I'd like to look with you at this question, the when question. When will God rescue us from our troubles? When can we expect Him to give us relief? When will He come and save us? How long, O Lord? Do you think Job asked that question? That was surely on his mind. And do you ask that when you get into certain sufferings and troubles that you have to go through this life? Have you ever gone to ask God, oh, how long, O Lord, must I bear this? Right? Well, I'd like to look at this question with you today from the life of Job and see what we can learn about it. What God would teach us about the when question. Well, first of all, first thing we can say is, I think, is that's a very reasonable question. It was one that was, again, as I said, no doubt on Job's mind. Think about that. In a flash of an eye, Job lost his family, all his children. He lost all his wealth. He lost all his health, and he was covered with loathsome sores. He felt very alone. His friends were no help to him, and even his wife was against him, and he felt like God had abandoned him. And so let's see if that question was on his heart and mind, the when question. If we open up to Job chapter 21, he doesn't say it specifically, but he does say this, verse 4 and 5, and etc. He says, as for me, why should I not be impatient? Look at me and be appalled. And lay your hand upon your mouth. When I think of it, I am dismayed, and shuddering seizes my flesh. Is Job getting impatient? Oh, he's impatient. As would any of us under the heavy pressure of all of his troubles that he had. Job was crying out to God, and he felt like God had abandoned him. In fact, he says this in chapter 23, behold, I go forward, but he's not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, I seek him, but I cannot behold him. I turn to the right, but I cannot see him. Ah, can you relate to Job here? Have you ever been through something like that in your life where you are, where are you, God? Why have you not come and rescued me? Why do you leave me here to suffer under this great trouble? When will you come and rescue me out of all my distresses? Have you ever asked those kinds of questions? Ever felt like that? Well, guess what? You are in good company. Because you got Job. He said the same and felt the same things as you do, as did many, if not all, of the saints throughout history. Let me give you a few examples from the scriptures where they've asked the same question as you have. How long, O Lord, must I bear this? For example, you could go to Psalm of David, Psalm 13. He says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Amen? Oh, you feel like that sometimes? How about Habakkuk? Habakkuk had a great question. He says, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear, or cry to thee violence and you will not save? He was looking and he says, I'm looking around, God, and the righteous are being swallowed up by the wicked. Where are you? How long must we bear this? And then you could jump over to Acts here, right after Jesus was resurrected and just before he was ascended to heaven. It says, so when they had come together, the disciples came together, the apostles, they asked Jesus, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? What are the saints always asking their Father in heaven? When? When? We want to know the timing, God. Please reveal this to us. This is information we need to know. All right? In fact, you can even look at the saints in heaven. Do you think that the saints in heaven are even asking that question? That's amazing that even when you die and are before the throne, John says he saw this. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before thou wilt judge and avenge our blood and on those who dwell on the earth. So is the how long question a question that you're in good company with when you ask it? You know, Beth and I, you're in good company because you got Beth and me too, right? We, you know, as you know, Beth, my wife, has been suffering under many troubles and pains of her body for half of her life, really. 27 years or so, not quite 27, or not quite 54 yet, I mean. But she has suffered, and for decades, and I know many of you have done the same. And we've cried out to the Lord, you know, how long? When will you give us relief? When will rescue come? How long? When is this? We want to know the timing, God. Please give us your watch and make this known to us, reveal to us. And so if you look at the Bible and if you look at our own lives, if I might say it this way, you could say like we're all on a family road trip. Dad is driving the car and we're all the children in the back seat saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Don't you have kids that have said the same thing, right? And we are saying the same thing as did David and Habakkuk and Job and the apostles and you and me. God, give us the when question. We want to know when. How long? How long? Because we're suffering here. We're suffering. Don't you see this? Well, what's God's answer to the when question? If you look at the scriptures, in terms of timing, one thing we notice from the Bible is that God is often going to seem slow to us. You see, when we face a trouble, or like David is facing Goliath or something like that, right? We want God to take care of Goliath when he's all the way over there in Gath. We don't want him to come all the way over here. A lot of times, you know, we would like God to show up early, right? To our appointments, his appointments. We want him to show up, you know, while we're waiting around for something to happen. Take care of it before it gets to us. Often God seems slow. I just want you to know, that's just the way it is in Scripture. Job said, why should I not be impatient? Look at me and be appalled, right? If you look at the saints throughout history, let's take a look and see when God shows up. With his power, not that he's not there all the time, but when does he show up mightily to rescue and save? All right, let's take a look over here at Mark chapter 4 in the New Testament. Here's a story you know well. A great storm of wind arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already filling. I mean, they are sinking, friends. They are sinking. And he was asleep in the cushion in the stern, and they woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we perish? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the sea and said, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm, and he said, why are you afraid? Have you no faith? So when did God show up then? Was it early? No, right? I mean, the boat is sinking. They are about to perish. And they say, don't you care? What's the matter? Why aren't you here? Why aren't you doing something? And then at the last minute, he comes and saves them, right? Remember the people when they left the Egypt and they were at the Red Sea. And, you know, you'd think, why didn't God just lead them away from there? I mean, he led them right into a trap, really, where they got the ocean before them. And then Pharaoh's army comes behind them, and you'd think God would show up early. He shows up when? At the last second, right? And boom, salvation came. He splits the sea, they go through, and he drowns Pharaoh's army at the last second, at the very last moment. Boom, and salvation came. Luke 13, let's take a look at that one. Luke 13, here's another example. See if you can relate to this one. Now, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and there was a woman who had had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. Say 18 years. Had a long time. And it says she was bent over and couldn't fully straighten herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her and said to her, woman, you are freed from your infirmity. And boom, she was made perfect. She was made straight. Think about that. 18 years. And then he came. Right? Last moment. Over here in John chapter 5, there was a guy laying by the sheep gate pool. There is a pool where all the sick were. Jesus came and he was there 38 years sick. 38? 38. Okay. God seems slow, right? Jesus says, when he knew he's there a long time, do you want to be healed? The man basically says, yes, eventually. And Jesus says, take up your pallet and walk. Boom, he was healed. After how long? 38 years. Does that seem slow to you? You know, we are kind of like children in the back seat, right? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? We want it now, 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 now. I'm not going to have my ice cream after dinner. I want it before dinner, right? But God shows up when? At the proper time, after a while. It seems slow. Look at Abraham. He gets a promise, right? He's 75 years old. You're going to have a kid. He's going to, you know, you're going to have descendants as the stars of heaven. Can you imagine him running home to Sarai? We're going to get pregnant. Hey, let's go and make a baby right now because God promised it, and we're going to have descendants as the stars. Year one passes, year two passes, year five passes, year 10 passes, year 20 passes. Of course, Abraham continued to believe, but does that seem slow to you when God gives you a word and it takes 25 years? But guess what? What happened? He came at the last moment on the edge of the cliff when all seems lost. Boom, he arrives and powerfully does his work. Do you see a pattern developing here in Scripture? Do you know that even sometimes in the Bible, God seems late, like as in too late? There's a story here in Luke 8. Remember Jairus? He was a ruler of the Jews. His daughter is at home and she's dying. And when I mean dying, she's on her last breath. He comes and falls down before Jesus and pleads, "Oh, Jesus, please come quickly and hear my daughter. She's at the point of death." I mean, there is little time, right? Isn't that the force of it here? You got to rush. Let's run. Let's not walk home. Let's run. On the way there, what happens? A woman comes up behind him, touches the fringes of a garment. She gets healed. Jesus turns around, deals with the situation. And although that's all lovely, can you imagine how Jairus is feeling? He's like, "Look, look, this woman's not going to die. Let's deal with her later. Let's go over here and take care of my daughter." But Jesus is in no rush. He takes care of this woman, sets her free. And then as he's doing that, they come and say, "Don't bother the teacher anymore. Jairus, your daughter's dead. It's over. God's missed the train," right? He's missed the train. And can you imagine how Jairus felt? But what does Jesus say? "Don't fear, only believe." He walks in there, "Talitha kume, little daughter, I say to you, arise." And boom, she comes up. Give her something to eat. Did God seem too late? You answer me. Did God seem too late in that situation at the time? He's missed the train? I mean, God, you are so not on time here. But guess what? He was right on time. God often appears, as you see, and I could give you more examples, at the last minute when you're on the edge of the cliff, you're about to fall over, boom, he fulfills his word. And I want you to know today, he will fulfill his word to you, his people. He is not ignorant of the things that you're going through. And you do have to suffer for a while. If he seems slow, wait for him. That's what it says here in Habakkuk, actually, as a matter of fact. Habakkuk cries out, you know, "How long, O Lord? How long shall I cry for help and you won't hear?" And he says, "God, you're of purer eyes than even look on evil. Why are you silent, God, when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he?" You know, the wicked are ruling and destroying the righteous. Where are you? "How long? I'll take my stand and watch," says Habakkuk. "I'll look to see what he'll say to me." And God answered him and said, "Write the vision, Habakkuk. Make it plain. Write it on tablets so that a person running can read it. For still the vision awaits its time. It hastens to its end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It won't delay. Behold, he whose soul is upright in him shall fail, is not upright in him shall fail, but the righteous shall live by his faith." So what's God tell Habakkuk there? The very words, look, if it seems slow, wait for it. It's hastening to its end. Just wait. That's what Dad says, right? Just wait. I'm coming, and I'm going to fulfill my word to you. So Abraham, 25 years, this woman, 18 years, the woman with the flow of blood, 12 years, the lame man, 38 years, Jairus' daughter was dead, but God came. And one of the most beautiful words here in the book of Job is what? At the very end of all this suffering, "The Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he had prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before, and the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning." Do you have any hope coming to you in this sermon? I mean, from the Lord, this is his word, not mine, about the how long question? Well, God says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He says, I will never permit the righteous to be moved. I won't let you be pushed beyond your breaking point. Okay? And Jeremiah says in Lamentations, it's good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. And David says, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Yea, wait for the Lord. Now, is that easy for you? You know, it's so easy to preach this, but when you're in the middle of suffering, that's the hardest, right? When is the proper time? Does God give us any more specifics as to when, the when question? God, when will you do this? What is the proper time? If you're going to arrive at the proper time, what is that? Answer, classified. Right? It's above your pay grade. There are classified pieces of information in the Bible. When the disciples asked Jesus before he ascended, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom? What's his answer? It's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has fixed by his own authority. Right? It's not for you to know the time. I'm not giving you this answer. It's classified. Do you know even Jesus said of the day of his coming, even the angels in heaven don't know that. Even the Son doesn't know it, but the Father only. At least in his earthly life, Jesus didn't know. There's classified information with God, right? Say classified, just so I know you're with me. Exactly, right? Classified information. It's for us to trust. It's for God to know the time. And it's for us to wait. So can you do that? Can you wait for God? The righteous shall live by faith. Even if you get to the edge of the cliff, you need to have this promise in mind that God is faithful. He's not going to let you be tempted beyond your strength. But with the temptation, he's also going to provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. There's a comfort in your troubles. At the proper time, can we get a little more specific, God? With the proper time, what is that? God says, okay, here's a little more specific. When my purposes are fulfilled. Oh, you mean purposes and suffering? You mean you have things that are you're trying to accomplish in me and my sufferings? Amen, says the Lord. Yes, I do. Do you know that if you're in boot camp, anybody been to boot camp in the Army? Right? Does it seem like your sergeant or whomever is against you at that time? It seems like it, right? I mean, he's after you, he's yelling at you, he's threatening you, he's pushing you, he's making you do tough things. Is he really after you? Is he cruel? He really wants to save your neck, right, in battle, right? He's pushing you because he really loves you, if you will, though it's hard to see it at the time. Well, God does the same thing for us. Our sufferings, Paul says, produce endurance, which produces character, which produces hope, which will not disappoint us. Sometimes through our sufferings, God is working through them to save your soul so that you don't go the way of the world and be perished. Perish. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet various trials, says James, for the testing of your faith produces what? Who knows the verse? Steadfastness. And steadfastness, let it be that you may become perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I mean, God is aiming to make you perfect and complete. He's got purposes for you here. Let me give you an example here. Death Valley. Anybody been there? Out there in California, lowest, driest, hottest place in North America. Usually looks like this, all right? It's all sunshine there. It's hot. It's sunshine. You know what's happened in the last year or so? El Nino. Right? Huge deluge, torrents of black, you know, clouds, rain, buckets, terrible kind of weather we'd call it, falling on Death Valley. And this is what it looks like this year, right? Death Valley normally, and then after rain and dark skies and buckets and just torrential downpours, look, it's full of color. This is an actual picture. Beauty and golds and purples all over the place. Can you believe that God is doing that for you and your sufferings? Even if you can't see it at the time? Do you know that Job even said, when he has tried, he knows the way that I take, and when God has tried me, when he's put me through the test, I shall come forth as gold. Say gold. I mean, that's what God is after. He's refining your fire, refining you by fire to bring forth pure gold. At the moment, you're not going to see it. Nobody sees that in their suffering. In the end, you will come forth as gold, thus says the Lord. Holding fast to me and to my son, you will come forth as gold. I promise it. So let that be a comfort in your sufferings. How about this one? How long, O Lord? Can't you give us a little more clue? Well, I'll give you a little more clue. Okay? If you go over here to Peter, it says, resist the devil, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering is required of your brotherhood throughout the world. Do you know that everybody has to suffer here? Anybody here not suffered? If you're prospering today, may it continue for you, by the way. But as Martin Luther said, suffering is like the toll that you have to pay for passing through a fallen world, okay? We all pay the toll. But he says, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, establish, and strengthen you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So after how long? How long is your suffering going to last, God says to you today through me? A little while. In fact, we don't have time, but you could go through the scriptures. A little while appears all over the place. God says, just a little while. It's just a little while. Kids yell, is it much further yet? Dad, just a little bit. We'll be there soon, right? So let that be a comfort to you today. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for you an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, says Paul. Slight momentary, bringing you to eternal weight of glory that is beyond your wildest dreams at the moment. This is why God says, be encouraged in your suffering. And when God comes, both in this life and on the last day, believe me, he comes. And he comes swiftly on the wings of the wind. He comes like a rushing stream. He comes like a roaring ocean and like a bolt of lightning when he comes. Watch out. And he's coming for you to rescue you and help you both in this life, but especially at the last day when our Lord Jesus comes. Yet a little while, God says in Psalm 37, a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you will look well at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall possess the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. So, what's the good news for today as we get towards the end here? What's the good news? Is that you have a king who understands suffering, has made it such that he sanctifies it and uses it for good purpose, and he's with you in your sufferings. God knows the way that you take. He's put all my tears in a bottle. Are they not in thy book? You've kept count of all my tossings, says David. And God suffers with us. Your king suffers with you, and he suffers for you. Suffered for you in the greatest way, where? The cross, right? The hugest, most tremendous suffering of any on earth ever was at that cross. And our king understands, and he brought suffering, through suffering, your salvation. For the Son of Man is going up to Jerusalem, Jesus had said, and to be given into the hands of sinful men, to be crucified, and on the third day, rise. It's through suffering that God has brought you eternal life, through Jesus' death, and then his subsequent resurrection. So woe to the church, I say, that has no theology of suffering, and woe to the Christian that thinks he's just going to sail through life. If you have prosperity, great. God loves that. May it continue. But we all have this toll to pay. Don't let it get you down, Jesus says, for I'll not leave you desolate. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you shall live also. And there, on that day, you shall hunger no more. You shall thirst no more. The sun shall not strike you, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will be your shepherd, and he will guide you to springs of living water. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.